Again, happy Family Sunday, All Together Sunday. It is good to have the kiddos in here with us. I mean, I love what they're offered downstairs each Sunday, but it's good just to all be together sometimes too. So, you guys have a good Christmas? Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, we had a really beautiful, beautiful Christmas, and getting ready to have a nice New Year's with family as well. Looking forward to that. You know, as a church, we are in the habit, like many congregations, of gathering every Sunday. And we gather for certain reasons. I think we gather, one, because God brings us together. You know, he actually does this. And we come together for worship. You know, we come together to worship him. Although in reality, I mean, that can be a little misleading, because we should really never stop worshiping. I don't think we ever do stop worshiping. Maybe we stop worshiping him sometimes, but we're always worshiping something, you know. It never stops. But this is a time of intentionality. God brings us together here, and by his Spirit, he enables us to just praise him in a way that we couldn't do without him. And you know, there's a sense in which really what we do here, we're participating in the worship of the Father that Jesus is doing. You know, it's not really us, because it's by his sacrifice that we're just kind of along for the ride, you know, trusting in what he's done and who he is. And you know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about our spiritual sacrifices, how those are made acceptable to God through Jesus. And so it's all because of Jesus that we can even approach the Father today, you know, to really come into the presence of God here today and worship him. And so there is a sense, although we're always in God's presence, that something special when we are gathered together on occasion, according to the will of God, it's not something we can make happen, but he sometimes gives this experience, this knowledge of his presence when we're gathered. And so, you know, we always pray for that and desire that, but we just take God at his word whether we feel something or don't feel something. And so, all that to say, you know, corporate worship, when we gather for worship, it is, or at least it should be, all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's not about us and what we want to experience. It's not really about what we do well or don't do well. It's definitely not about our being entertained. Or shouldn't be. That should have no place at all. You know, God is worthy of our complete attention. He is worthy of our thoughts being fixed upon him, of our hearts being fixed upon him. But he asks us to take times to contemplate ourselves, you know, to really examine ourselves and to test our faith. And you know, he commands this. I think it's pleasing to him when we take some time, not to make much of us, but just for his glory, that we just get honest before him about ourselves, and we take time to really do that. So we're going to begin a new series for the new year called We Are the Church. And I just wanted you to understand why, you know, because certainly we want to focus on him every week more than ourselves. But it is good, it's biblical for us to take time, like it says in 2 Corinthians, to examine ourselves, test ourselves, make sure we're in the faith. And I think that's not just like at a moment of salvation thing. That's an ongoing thing in the Christian life, that we need to have these moments of reflection to really pause and, in light of who God is, say, are we who he wants us to be, you know, in light of who he is. And so that's one of the goals of this message series, is that we would be the church that he wants us to be and come together the way he wants us to. So that's the series. You guys familiar with a game called Do You Have A? Have you ever played that? On the old Price is Right, did you ever see on the old Price is Right where they would say, like, does somebody have a paperclip? And then if you had a paperclip, you'd, like, get $100. Do you remember that? Okay, it was way before you guys, when Bob Barker, you know, like, was young. Well, sometimes they play this like at wedding showers or baby showers, and they'll say, okay, who has a cat food coupon, you know? And like whoever has a cat food coupon in their purse, like, okay, well, here's whatever gift, you know, here's a prize or something. And so do you have it? And so I just, you know, this is, I don't think it's an evil thing to have fun as long as it's, you know, good, clean fun. So, and this is a family time. And so this is something we can all do. So I want to invite the kids to play this too. Everybody, all ages, everybody can play this today. Let's just take a moment and play this game. So do you have a rubber band? Maybe in your purse, your pocket. Somebody said ladies have an unfair advantage because they carry purses, but I don't know that a lot of ladies carry purses anymore. It was kind of a last century thing. Does anybody have a rubber band? I'll tell you what. Yeah, we'll accept hair thingy. So it's made of elastic. It, raise your hand. That so counts. That's awesome. A gospel bracelet. Yeah. If you have a gospel bracelet and if you'd raise your hand, George has got a prize for you. He's got a prize for you. Now, we do ask that you just win once this morning, okay? So, okay, how about, let me let George make the rounds here, but you can start looking. Yeah, raise your hand up. Raise your hand up so George can see you. How about chewing gum? If you didn't win that one, okay, if you didn't win on the rubber band or hair thingy, if you have chewing gum, bubble gum, some kind, if you'd raise your hand. Okay, we've got a couple winners for that too. Go ahead and keep your hands up. It can be in your mouth. It can, I don't want to see it. All right, we'll let George get caught up here, and we'll do another one. Kelly, did you win on either of those? Okay, we're going to do chapstick next. Okay, how about chapstick? If you didn't win yet, and you have chapstick, would you? Yeah. Or lip chap, as I've heard it called before. Yeah, raise it. Yeah, you can only win one. If you have five, you only get one prize. Yeah, as soon as we get caught up here, I wanna do a couple here that I think the kids will do well with. Yeah, over here and over there. Yep, back there. Yeah, raise your hand high so George can get a prize to you. Wow, a lot of people have chapstick. It is. It is chapstick season. Okay, all right, this is more for the kiddos. You guys ready? All right, how about a crayon? Any kids have a crayon? Or how about a toy? If you don't have a crayon, maybe a toy. Crayon or toy? Okay, yeah, keep your hand up. That's good. We'll take that. From here, that looks like a crayon, so I'm like, That's a toy. That counts. It's a toy. Was that one of the old Nerf darts from a game we played here and it was lost in a pew, or did you? We don't know. I found one here in the sanctuary like 3 months after they played. It was kind of fun. I felt like I accomplished something. All right, let's help the older folks. We help the kids out. A toy or crayon. All the kids, did you guys get a prize if you had a toy? Okay. In the back? Yeah, Joey in the back there. Okay, let's help the older folks. How about, because none of you young folks are going to have this, how about a checkbook? Any older folks who have not won yet, you've got a checkbook with you? Yeah, people under 18 don't know what that is. Okay, how about nail clippers? Anybody have nail clippers? Anybody? Okay. Wow, let's help out the worship team. How about a guitar pick or drumsticks? They're up here. We'll count it. It's okay. You didn't have to be on your person. So worship team, you're good. Okay, they've already got it covered. All right, how about, if you haven't won yet, how about Bible? Actually, you know what? Even if you want, if you want to hold your Bible up, because you're I'm really glad you brought your Bible. It can be on your phone. Yeah, if you can just raise your phone up, I'll take your word for it. There's a Bible in there. Yeah, there was an evangelist years ago who said that the only people who bring Bibles to church are Baptists, which sounds really good for the Baptist, except he said the only reason they bring them is they don't trust their preachers. So. How about a friend? Did anybody bring a friend today? Yeah. Okay. How about you brought yourself? If you haven't won yet, you brought yourself. All right. So if you haven't won yet and you're here, you win because you brought you. All right. Well, I've given the sermon title today kind of a friendly, playful title. And I've titled this, We Bring Stuff. We bring stuff. We come together to worship God, and we bring all kinds of things. We bring things that we can see. We bring things that we cannot see. And along with recognizing that we bring things to worship, it's also good to recognize that God is looking for things during our worship. He is looking for some things. In John 4, Jesus is speaking. This is the Samaritan woman at the well, the encounter there. And, of course, she's just trying to, like, take the conversation different directions so it's not focused on her. But, you know, Jesus said, a time is coming and has now arrived when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Now, we bring things, and the Father is looking for things, and I want what I bring to be what he's looking for, you know, for that to line up. So today in Psalm 100, if you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 100, hopefully you're already there from George reading Psalm 101. Just, you know, turn back a little bit. In Psalm 100, we're going to recognize today some things that God is looking for, things that we want to be intentional to bring. A little background on this psalm. Psalm 100, it's part of a collection of psalms known as the Royal Psalms. And there's an emphasis on the sovereignty of God in these psalms, a focus on his goodness, the responsibility of all peoples to worship God and acknowledge him, the importance of exalting him in our lives. There are some Bible scholars who believe that this actually is prophetic and even points forward to the millennial kingdom and when Jesus is ruling on earth in glory, what that will look like. That may or may not be the case, but some Bible scholars think that. Certainly this was written for the Hebrew people, right? This is for the Israelites. And so God gave this gift of this psalm to the psalmist to share with the people for their worship at the temple. So this was for worship at the temple. But it's also a gift for us. It's a gift for the church. You know, God's word says that all scripture is God-breathed, right? It's useful for building us up, for equipping us. And so this is part of that. You know, we want to be equipped for good worship, for the worship God wants. So if you have, there's an insert in your bulletin there. If you want to follow along, there's a fill in the blank. If you like that sort of thing, might be helpful. Going to recognize some things that God is looking for in those who worship him. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. In the Hebrew, it could also be interpreted a thanksgiving sacrifice or a thank offering. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with jubilation. Some of your translations say worship the Lord with gladness or laughter. Come before him with rejoicing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving or with a thank offering and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his faithfulness is to all generations. So what should we bring? What is God looking for? First of all, bring the right spirit. God is looking for the right spirit. And of course, all believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having the right heart towards God, the right heart disposition towards God when we come together. We want to have a heart that is overflowing with praise and worship for our God when we come together, not distracted by lesser things. We're told, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Part of that right spirit is a shouting spirit. We want to have a shouting spirit. I want to break down what he's commanding here. Shout joyfully to the Lord. It means make music, right? This is a psalm. These shouts are vocalizing worship and praise for God. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Sing with exuberance. Sing with passion. Sing with excitement to God. Because it's a public confession of his greatness. You know, when we gather together and we praise him, we're not just singing songs, you know. We're not trying to impress anybody with our vocals. We're not trying to sound better than somebody else. We're coming together to declare in song the attributes of God, how awesome our God is. He's great. He's worthy of passion. He's worthy of excitement. We do this with a joyful shout, a loud cry. This is an invitation, a command, really, to raise a song to the Lord from our hearts. Is it from our hearts when we come together? Are we prepared to sing from our hearts? Did you bring that with you today? I would ask. I'd ask me. And there are moments where the answer is yes, and there's probably moments when the answer is no, when I'm distracted. But we should come together with a shouting spirit. We're ready. When we get here, I am ready to join with my brothers and sisters in song to declare the praises of our God, to shout. You know, if you're a Colts fan and they actually somehow win that game and get into the playoffs, you're going to be shouting, right? How much more worthy of shouting is Jesus? You know, if you're a Notre Dame fan and they actually beat Georgia, you are going to be psyched and you're going to be yelling and jumping. And how much worthy is our Savior that we come together and we shout joyfully his praises? And I know some of you probably have the same objection that I had 30 years ago. I can't sing, so I'm just kind of mouthing it really quietly. You know, that's... But God, it's not about ability. It's about having a song in your heart. It's about having a praise in your heart for God. Do you bring that when we gather as the church? Do you bring that with you? Because God's looking for that. You know, he gives us a song. Psalm 40, if you'd like to turn there, I have a slide for this. But I love this because it puts to words the times in our life that are really hard to put into words. Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. In the Hebrew, it's literally underworld. He brought me out of hell. My life was darkness and condemnation. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song in my heart, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Has God brought you out of the pit of despair sometime in your life? Man, we forget. He's done that for me over and over and over in every kind of situation where I was just overwhelmed with hopelessness. And God just burst into my reality and rescued me so many times. And he gives us a song in our heart. God, you are worthy. And we need to come together, remember that. Remember what he's brought us. Or maybe when we come together, we're going through that now. You know, some of us, this morning, feel like, man, I am there, right? I'm in the pit of despair now. I need freed now, man. I'm in the muck and the mire today. And even in that, he can give us a song that he's faithful and good and is with us. Do you bring that song with you to church? You know, I've heard people say, and I've probably actually said this myself, that you've been in a worship service and you're like, well, that was kind of dry and That wasn't very passionate, and you know, not here, somewhere else. But but my question to myself a long time ago was, and I think God convicting my heart is, did you bring the passion? Like, where were you? You know, talk about other folks in the worship team. It's like, where's your passion? Because I invited you here to sing my praises today. Do you bring that passion, that song in your heart? What else should we bring? Verse 2, serve the Lord with jubilation. It means with gladness or with laughter. We need to come with a serving spirit or a serving heart. To serve, it means to be in bondage to a master. When you're a servant and you have a master, you are ready at beck and call. You are ready to, you're listening for the voice of my master to instruct me and to guide me and to command me and for me to obey. You know, we need to come with that kind of heart disposition, that we come humbly, continually ready to hear from God and do what he wants us to do. You know, when we got saved, we became really twice his. We're his because he created us. But we're his again because he saved us, right? We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. And so we bring this heart of a spirit, this serving spirit. And it means that I'm listening for him to command me, that my agenda has to go to the wayside. My expectations don't matter. I'm listening for God to guide me and direct me and speak to me and convict me, and whatever he has to say, I'm listening for his voice. Anybody else really not like people telling you what to do? Sometimes, I mean, yeah, we bristle back at that sometimes, right? That's hard to do. There are times, you know, somebody's telling us what to do, and we're like, man, I should probably do that, but I'm not going to do it because they said so. You know, we don't like it. But his word says, we're to do that. We're to serve him with gladness. We're to serve him with joy. We're to serve him with laughter, with jubilation. We're to serve him. We're to listen for his voice. And when he says, do this thing, the answer is yes, Lord. And I am happy to do what you commanded, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't like it, because you're my shepherd. You're my master. Did you bring a shouting spirit today? Did you bring a serving spirit today? What else are we to bring? Let's look at verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We need to bring the right submission. God is looking for the right submission. Know that the Lord himself is God. Do we come submitted to the person of God? We need to bring submission to the person of God. We're told to know that he is Lord. And that means we need to make a distinction. If he's Lord, nothing else gets to be. Nothing else gets to be. Not my feelings. Not my agenda. Not my goals, not my reputation. He alone is God. He alone is God. Do we come submitted to the person of God? You know, the old litmus test. If you want to know who is God in your life and who you're worshiping, how do you spend your time? Is it on him? You know, how do you spend your money? Is it for his purposes? It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We need to submit to the purpose of God. We're reminded by the psalmist that we are what we are because he made us. He made us. He created us. He formed us. He planned us out before our moms and dads even existed. He knew who we would be. And he formed us for his glory, by his power. And regardless of how much of a broken or messy kid you might be this morning, how much you need to continue to be transformed to the likeness of his son, no matter who you are, he has created you. You belong to Him. And we are what we are because of the will of God and the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, God's word says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me." It is God working within us to make us into who we are. And we need to realize that we've been saved for His purposes, not our own purposes. You know, he went to the cross. I'm so glad that he loves us and He went to the cross to save us, but that's not really the whole story, right? It's about His glory. It's about the glory of God the Father. It's about obeying Him and knowing Him. He didn't just redeem us to keep us out of hell, but He has a purpose for our lives. Part of His purpose is that we have a lifetime of worship. You know, He's looking for worshipers. He's making worshipers. He's not just redeeming people who are kind of worshiping themselves and saying, okay, you're redeemed, and now you're like a redeemed person who's just worshiping. No, He's making worshipers, that we're to live a life of worshiping Him, glorifying Him. You know, He does that as we submit to Him, as we submit to His purposes. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. This is a promise of God's care for us. Anybody else need that promise today, that God is going to care for us? I do, every day. We need to submit to the promise of God. Did you bring that submission with you today? Submitting to the promise of God that He will care for us. We are the sheep of His pasture. It's a simple statement. It just reminds us that He's our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We belong to Him. You know, when you realize that, you understand, you know, there are things in my life, there are situations that I want to change. And I want Him to come in and empower and just do a miracle. So many things in my loved ones' lives, I want to see that, and He does that. But whether He does or doesn't, He can be trusted. You know, with whatever arises in my life, I know God is my shepherd, and if He allows it, there's a reason. But I'm in His care, and He can do anything. I belong to Him. He's going to care for my needs. Do we bring submission to the promise of God today? That we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Continuing here in verse 4. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courtyards with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless or praise His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His faithfulness is to all generations." What else do we bring? We bring the right sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise. God is looking for the right sacrifice. And of course, first and foremost, we come in Jesus' name. Because it's His sacrifice that makes any sacrifice we have acceptable. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, God's word says, "Through Him then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips praising Him." Through Jesus, we can praise the Father. Through Jesus, we can praise God. Praise Him for what? We can praise Him. "For the Lord is good." Praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His goodness. Everything that God does is an expression of His goodness. We can praise God because He is good. No matter what's going on in my life, no matter what the struggles are, no matter what's overwhelming me, God is good, and I can praise Him for that. No matter how things turn out, no matter how long I have to wait to see the answer to that prayer, He's still good. I can praise Him. In the midst of the storm, I can praise Him that He's a good God, no matter what I'm going through. His mercy is everlasting. I can praise God for His mercy. Do we bring that? That praise for His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. I am so grateful every day of my life. It's one of the things, I've got certain things I pray every day, and that's one of my early prayers every day. Oh, God, thank You for Your new mercy today, because I'm going to need it. I need it right as soon as I wake up. Thank You, Lord, that unending mercy that You have for me. You know, there's no day where I want to get what I deserve. I'm just telling you, I mean, maybe you do. Need to pray for you more if that's, you know, I don't want what I deserve, ever. I want his mercy. And there are times, you know, for other people, man, I want justice toward that person. They are so in the wrong, God. Kick their butt, you know. Smack them upside the head. No, that's, I don't know. Accountability is good too. But also, you know, with that, there needs to be some mercy, because I'm praying that mercy for me. I need to pray that for those that I think need straightened out. I don't want anybody to, you know, what we all deserve, of course, is hell. In ourselves, right? But God wants to save. He wants to make us a recipient, an object of that mercy. And it's never exhausted. You know, there's times, I think as a believer, there's times that we wrestle with that. You know, we feel some amount of condemnation. The devil's accusing us of stuff that we actually did, you know. We're like, oh man, he's right. He's accusing me. And I did do that. And then our flesh starts cooperating with the accusations, and we just feel overwhelmed with guilt and with shame and with condemnation, and we forget, man, his mercy is more. His mercy is greater. And yes, there needs to be repentance and there needs to be a change of course, but there's a massive mercy to praise him for along with that. His unending mercy every day is a great reason to praise him. And his faithfulness is to all generations. Praise God for his faithfulness. Praise God for, he is so faithful. You know, there are things in Scripture where Jesus fulfilled in that first coming some of the promises about the Messiah. There are some that haven't been fulfilled yet that are waiting for his second coming. But no matter how many thousands of years ago God made a promise, do you know what? It is just as sure and certain that he will keep that promise. He always keeps, God cannot lie. And so anything that he promises that is applicable to us, he will keep that promise. Always. He is faithful. God is faithful. When he says it, you can count on it. There's many times that, you know, I want to argue with God in my thought life. And that just needs to be shut down, you know. Because if he said it, I need to believe it and trust in him no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, no matter what anybody else says. If he says it, man, I want to lay hold of that and stand on those promises. So, I don't know if you brought a joyful shout this morning for God, if you had a song in your heart. Maybe you have it now. I don't know. Maybe I talked too long and you lost it. I'm sorry. Anybody have a joyful song in your heart for God right now? Like you've got that in you? Yeah, amen. Amen. Praise God for that. All right. It's good to vocalize. You know, I'm just going to give us an opportunity this morning, and if you're not feeling it, it's fine. But I just want to lay hold of the faithfulness of God for a minute. You know, Jesus says he loves me. I can count on it. Jesus says he loves you. You can count on it. I just want to invite you to say that this morning. We can count on it. God says he loves you. We can count on it. We can count on it. You can stand upon that. He's always faithful. He's always going to love you. Jesus says that if we trust in his sacrifice, if we turn away from sin and repent and trust in him, he will save. That's for everybody, right? We can count on it. We can count on it. You can declare that truth to somebody. You can tell somebody based on the authority of the words of Jesus and what he has said that he will save if they will repent and put their trust in him. You can count on it because he said it. Is he your shepherd? Is he going to take care of you? We can count on it. We can count on it. No matter what we're going through, we can count on it. He says he won't abandon us or leave us. We can count on it. We can count on that today. Anything that the Lord declares in our lives, we can count on it. We can stand upon those promises. And we need to come when we gather together with that confidence, with that praise in the faithfulness of God. He'll always keep his promises. He'll always be true to who he is. And we need to praise God most of all for his son. Because without Jesus, nothing else. Jesus, through his blood on the cross, purchased all those wonderful promises for us. None of it would be anything if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. If we weren't people who had trusted in that sacrifice, been purchased out of death and out of sin by that sacrifice. We need to always come ready to praise God for his son. The goodness of God and the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God, they are personified in the person of Jesus. You know, we sometimes, being far removed from Old Testament times, we kind of forget as the church that we can't even enter into the presence of God without a sacrifice. We can't. We cannot enter into the presence of God. No one can without a sacrifice. Jesus is our sacrifice. We come together and experience the presence of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it amazing that he would do that for us? So, what do we bring into church? What's the Father looking for? You know, in God's grace, though, he invites us, come as you are. You know, even if all you brought was mess, there's plenty of times where all I brought to church was a whole lot of mess. And he still says, come, because of his grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord, to redeem us, to redeem our lives, to give us the opportunity to bring what you were looking for, even though what we're bringing, we can't get any credit because that's all from you. And Lord, we do confess that we come here needy. Even if we checked all the boxes of all the stuff that we filled out today, we've got a lot of need. And you invite us to come with our needs, Lord, and not only to bring praise to you, to bring a song of worship, God, but you invite us to come as we are, because we're needy and we need to receive from you too. God, I just pray that as we get ready to lift our voices in song again, God, help us to draw near to you no matter where we are this morning. Whether we came feeling like we've got something to give or whether we came empty. Just the fact that because of Jesus, we're invited to come at all, God. You are so worthy of our praises and worship today. God, I just pray that nobody would shy away from you as we get ready to lift your praises with a song. God, I know some of us probably feel really poor spiritually. And I just pray, Lord, don't let that get in the way. Just draw us, Father. Some of us maybe feel a little heavy. Maybe we need healing or deliverance from something, God, whatever it is. I just pray, God, help us to run not away from you, but run towards you with that. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit, who is here this morning, God, in a way that only you can do, draw us close to your heart, Father. Help us to abandon thoughts and feelings of lesser things and to just come into your presence through the sacrifice made by Jesus, to receive grace, to receive mercy, to receive goodness, to receive righteousness, to receive everything, God, that we're in need of today, to receive of your faithfulness, Lord. God, give us a song in our hearts. because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.